Well, good morning. Father God, we just come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you. This is the day that you've made. We rejoice and are glad in it. Oh, Lord, you've given to us so many wonderful things. And God, we just thank you for them. Now, continue to have your way in this place, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. When Jesus came to earth, he came for a purpose, and that was to set us free from sin. It says that he was manifested, or he showed up to destroy the works of the devil. Now, there's a whole lot of things there, but one of those is that he came to set us free from the wages of sin. But in Mark chapter 1, and verse 14, it says, "Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." So he talks about the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." So he talked about the kingdom of God. He talked about the kingdom of God. And we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God. Last week I began laying some foundation for one of the great parables in the Word of God, and we're going to kind of continue just laying a little bit of groundwork again for that today before we get into that. In the book of Luke chapter 17, Luke 17 and verse 21, it says, "Neither shall you say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Or a better translation of that is, "The kingdom of God is among you." So what he was saying is, the kingdom of God has come to earth in me. The kingdom of God has come to earth in me. And when he came so that the kingdom of God may be in you and you in it. That's the purpose that he came to be a part of your life, so that you may be a part of his life. For his life is life. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." Now, he doesn't say that words aren't important. He says that the kingdom of God has immense power in it. He doesn't say that words are not important. And what we're going to be looking at in the upcoming weeks is that there is power in words. There's immense power in words. But what he's saying is, when Jesus came to earth, he didn't just come and speak, but he came and changed things with power. And then he empowered us to live the same way, which was to live by words. But he said, what I am talking about is that I don't just talk about it, there's power in the kingdom of God. So when we understand that, we can grasp the reality that God is a God of power, but he wants to work in power in your life and in my life. But there are certain principles that the kingdom of God works by. When he said, the kingdom of God is among you, and then I said, the kingdom of God is to be in us and we're to be in it, then we need to understand how the kingdom of God works, what principles the kingdom of God works by. And one of those principles is the kingdom of God works by faith. The kingdom of God works by faith. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. That word that is translated word is actually in the Greek the word rhema, R-H-E-M-A. And it means the spoken word of God, or the spoken word of Christ. So, faith comes when you have a spoken word from God to you. And we are to operate and to walk and to work in this world in the realm of faith, which is the realm of the Spirit. The kingdom of God operates on the principle of faith, not on the principle of merely seeing. You've heard me say this before, but we do not live in Missouri. You say, well, what are you talking about? We don't live in the show me state. Show it to me and I'll believe it. We live in Illinois, the state where we believe what God says, period. Now, there's tons of people in Missouri that do too. I just joke about that because that's their motto, show me. It's the show me state. Well, God says it, I believe it. And whether I see it yet or not, I believe it. And you can have what you say or you can say what you have. And many people just simply say what they have. But God, when He gives us His Word, we can have what He says. And we can have what we say when we put His Word into our mouth. And that is the principle whereby the kingdom of God works. So, words are important. And words are absolutely powerful. And words will change your life when you get a hold of God's words and you learn to get His words into your mouth. So, the kingdom of God is very, very much a kingdom where we simply get a hold of what He says, we believe what He says, we agree with what He says, we say what He says, and we hold on to that, and we will see what He says come to pass. So the kingdom of God, it is something that, and I'm going to recap a little bit of some of the things that I talked about last week. The kingdom of God, even though it may seem like it is insignificant, it may seem small, it may seem like it doesn't matter at all when we begin talking about words, because that is the principle whereby the kingdom works. It works by faith, but faith comes by the Word of God. So when we talk about words and we talk about the Word of God, you need to understand, though it may seem like mere words, it may seem like mere words or sound spoken into the air, it is not. It actually has the very power of God in the Word when He speaks. And it has the power of God to perform what He says if we will believe Him. So the kingdom of God, Jesus compared it to a mustard seed. And let's go over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. And I want you to understand that even though it may seem like something that is insignificant, it may seem like something that may even be nonsensical, it may seem like something that is very small, it is not. The seed of the Word of God is absolutely vital for you to get a hold of if you want to live the way that He wants you to live. Mark 4, verse 30. And He said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown into the earth is less than all seeds that are in the earth, but when it is sown it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So He says that it may seem insignificant. Words may seem insignificant. Words may seem even nonsensical when they go contrary to what you're hearing everybody else say. But when it is God's Word, it is not nonsensical and it is not insignificant, though it may be small. Just as a seed is planted in the ground and may produce a large plant, so the Word of God may seem very, very small and insignificant. Don't let it pass you by. Listen to the Word of God. Grab a hold of the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. Agree with the Word of God. And continue with patience to see the Word of God come to pass in your life, because it has immense power. The kingdom of God works by the principle of faith, and faith works by the principle of words. Words are seeds which will be planted. So, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which lives and abides forever. So He says that for you, and Jesus said, you must be born again. You'll not see heaven, you'll not enter heaven unless you're born again. And here He says that you're born again by the seed of the Word of God. So though it may seem like a very small thing, though it may seem like something that doesn't matter, though it may seem like mere words spoken into the wind, the Word of God is not mere words. It's not mere sound. It is the power of God unto what you need. And so we need to get a hold of what He says, because if we believe it, we can see it come to pass in our life. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, for you to be born again, for you to receive eternal life, for you to be made a new creature in Christ Jesus, for you to do that, you must believe what he says. And then there is the confession of what you believe. And that's faith. Faith is a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing, which leads to a corresponding action. You believe what he said, you agree with it, and you speak it. That's the corresponding action to your faith. That's about you getting born again. But the kingdom of God works by the principle of faith. It works that way, period. So, we see that being born again will be by the word of God, which seems like a small thing, but it is not. Even if it is small at the moment, it has the potential to be an incredible life for you. Now, my life is not what I thought it would be when I was a kid. How tall do you think I am? I'm about 5'8 and a half, maybe 5'9, in that range. And, oh, we have a call coming in. It's coming in on the phone that is recording this. Ignore it. It'll quit eventually. I'm about 5'9", and when I was in high school, even when I was in grade school, what I wanted to do was become a pro basketball player. Oh, I wanted to be a pro basketball player. There wasn't pro basketball for women when you were young. But I loved basketball. And I thought, man, I could just... And there have been some guys my height and even shorter that have played in the NBA. The shortest player to ever play in the NBA was 5'3". He was 5 inches shorter than me. So he was an incredible basketball player. But I wanted to be a pro basketball player. And so when I would envision my life in the future, you know, it was about me growing to be 6'7". I didn't quite make it. And being a pro basketball player. That was what I intended. But God's word was planted in my heart. I heard that he wanted me to receive eternal life. And I did. And then I heard that he wanted me to be in the ministry. And my life is so different. But it was the seed of the Word of God whereby I was born again. And it was the seed of the Word of God that he called me into the ministry that changed my life. And my life is wonderful. My life is awesome. I love the life that he's called me to. Nothing even compares to the plan of God for my life or the plan of God for your life. But it begins with a seed, the seed of the Word of God. And you must believe that seed, and you must believe and continue to believe that seed. You must confess that, and you must hold firm to that for you to see the seed of God come to pass in your life. Now, there is immense power of and in God's Word. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis 1, verses 3 and 4. And this is just a recap from last week, and we'll get into something here in just a few moments. But Genesis 1, verses 3 and 4, God said, "Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." We could go through this whole chapter. God said, God saw. God said, God saw. God said, God saw. It's there. When God speaks, there is immense power to bring to pass what he says. There was zero opposition when it came to creation. But it's not that way when God speaks to you. You're going to have opposition. You're going to have your own body oftentimes telling you this isn't going to happen. You're going to have people around you telling you this isn't going to happen. You're going to have the devil and his crowd telling you this isn't going to happen. You're going to have all kinds of things, and you're going to have to deal with those. But when God speaks, there is power to bring it to pass. Romans 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Or you could put it this way, "I'm not ashamed of the word of God. For it is the very power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Jew first, also the Greek. So he says, "I'm not ashamed of the Word of God, because in the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation." That word salvation in the Greek is the word soteria, and it can be translated as salvation, to be saved from the wages of sin. It can be translated as healing. It can be translated as deliverance. It's basically whatever you need. when he speaks to you, there's power to bring to pass whatever he says. So when we get a hold of what he says, encapsulated within the very word of God itself is the power to bring to pass what he says. There's power every time he speaks. So it may seem like a small thing, but it is not a small thing because there's power in that word if we will simply believe it and by our faith pierce to the core of that word and draw out of the core of that word the power to bring it to pass. It's his power, it's his word, but our faith accesses that power and brings it into our life. And then Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. The way that this is written in the Greek is this. Not a single spoken word of God, not a spoken word of God, is void of power. That's the way that that's written. So every time God speaks, there's immense power. But immense power for what? To do what he says. So every time he speaks, there's power to bring to pass what he says, but that power to bring it to pass does not guarantee that it will come to pass because you have a part to play in it, and that is to access that power by your faith. A lot of people will say, well, yeah, I agree, there's power in God's word, but they don't see things come to pass, and they say, no, didn't work. The reason it didn't work is you didn't access the power by your faith. And your faith will access that power and bring it into the realm of the seen. So there is immense power in God's word. So the kingdom of God works by the principle of faith, which operates on the principle of God's word. And there is immense power in God's word. And then you need to understand God has called us to live by his word. In Luke, well, let's see, which one do I want to go to first? Yeah, Luke 4, verse 4. Luke 4 and verse 4. And then we'll also look, as soon as we're done with that, at Mark 4 and chapter 4, or rather Matthew 4, 4. Luke 4 and verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So he says you're to live by the word of God. You're to live by the word of God. And then in Matthew 4, 4, he says basically the same thing. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we understand that God created us to be like him and to operate like him. And one way that he operates is he speaks and sees it come to pass. What he says is, you are to live by my words, and my words in your words will bring to pass what I want brought to pass. So when we get a hold of what he says, we can see come to pass exactly what he wants to come to pass. Now, I want you to understand something. God is smarter than you. God is wiser than you. God is bigger than you. And God is good. And his plan, don't think, well, his plan's going to cause me to not have any fun. No, the Christian life that God has for you, it is the most joy-filled life that you can't even imagine it. It's bigger and better than your imagination. And when he says, I want you to live by my words, he's going to give you his written word. We call it the Bible. But he's also going to give you spoken words specifically to your heart. And when he does that so that you will get a hold of what he says and speak it and believe it and see it come to pass in your life. You see, it does not say in the written word of God, Earl Howard Rice, because my middle name's Howard, Earl Howard Rice will go into the ministry, he'll go to Rhema Bible Training Center, then he'll pastor a church in Jacksonville, Illinois. Then he'll pastor a church in Bluffs, Illinois. Then he'll pastor a church in Effingham, Illinois. You don't have that written in the Bible. But it was a spoken word to me. And God will speak to you about his will. He will speak to you about his will. And you get a hold of it the same way. And you meditate on it the same way. You think about it the same way. And you live it out according to what he said, you access the power that is within that. God brought me here for a purpose. In him bringing me here for a purpose, that also means he has provided for me here. So I can stand on his provision for me here. And you can do the same when you're where he wants you to be. So we are to live by God's word. We are to live by God's word. Now, we need to take heed what we hear. Because words are actually seeds that have the potential to bring life to something in your life. Words are important. I know I'm talking a lot about words, and we'll get into the parable in the upcoming weeks, but what you hear is absolutely vital, because seeds, those words that are spoken, have the potential to produce what is spoken. So what you listen to is really, really, really important. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Verses 24 and 25. It says, "And he said unto them," the he is Jesus. "Jesus said unto them, take heed what you hear. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that has, to him shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has." Now, what he is saying here is, be careful what you listen to. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There are all kinds of voices in the earth. There are all kinds of words that you can listen to. And sometimes there are going to be words that are going to be passing you by that are not for you. You need not grab hold of those. You need to take heed what you hear. It's more than just the sound. It's grabbing a hold of what is spoken. And you need to pay close attention. And honestly, this is tied very closely with the shield of faith mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. And you need to have a strong shield of faith, because your shield of faith is actually an alert system. And when something goes contrary to what God says to His Word, it should set off alarms in your life. It should set off alarms. And so he says, be careful, be cautious, take heed what you are listening to. And he says there, what you hear. Now, there are going to be things, again, that are spoken. If you work a job, there's going to be things that are spoken that you really can't just shut down, but you can not take them. And that's the truth of the matter is, you can either grab hold of those words or not. You can let them take hold of you, or you can get rid of them. And there are certain things that you do not want to get a hold of. What or the substance that you listen to is absolutely vital. The words you listen to can come from many, many, many different sources. They will bring different and diverse messages. Some so far from what God has to say that it will make your head spin. You're going to hear certain things in this church. You're going to go to work. You're going to go out eating. You're going to go out to Walmart. You're going to go to different places. And there are going to be words which will go so contrary to what God says that it's like, man, where did that come from? You're going to hear them from other people, and there are going to be things that are going to be thrown at you from the devil. They're called their thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. The Bible talks about fiery darts of the wicked one. So there are going to be thoughts, there are going to be words that are going to come at you. And those words have the potential to produce, so you need to be cautious about what you're paying attention to, what you're taking in. Again, some of those things will be very close to what God says. Still, they diverge and they lead to a different conclusion and destination. The devil is really, really good at taking the word of God and getting off just a little bit. He did this when he confronted Jesus face to face. And he said, it is written that, you know, you can throw yourself down from here and God will protect you. He was actually quoting out of Psalm 91. But he was off. Because his quoting out of Psalm 91 was a temptation of Christ to do something that was not the will of God. Now, when the devil, he will do this with you too. He will take the word of God and twist it just a little bit. And you'll think, man, that sounds That sounds right, but it's not. So you need to pay close attention, and you need to be in the Word of God so you know what God has to say. So those other words will lead to a different conclusion and a different destination. Those words can be words of prosperity or poverty. They can be words of going over or going under, victory or defeat. You can have a proper image of yourself, or you can be deluded concerning what you are and what you look like and who you are. And the devil will deal with you in all of these areas. He's going to do this by words. So you need to pay attention. Pay close attention. Take heed of what you hear. Now, in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, we see something here. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Let me set this before you as plainly as I can." And this is Jesus speaking. "If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know that he's up to no good. He's a sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate, and the gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them, and they follow because they are familiar with his voice." The King James actually says they know his voice. "They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it." Jesus is talking about you learning to follow the voice of God. And he says, you know my voice. When you get born again, you know his voice. But you need to become so familiar with it through this, through the written word of God, through the Bible. You need to become so familiar with it that you recognize his voice. And even when the devil brings something that sounds really, really close, you'll recognize, oh, that's not God. That's not the voice of God. You recognize it because you know it from this. But Jesus said you know his voice. But you don't want to become familiar with other voices. And there may be other voices that you're familiar with right now, and you need to stop listening to them. Voices that tell you you're nothing. Voices that tell you you will never amount to anything. Those are not the voice of God. The voice of God says, I love you. The voice of God says, you're going to make it. The voice of God says, I'm with you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to hold you up. We're getting to the other side. Become familiar with God's voice. And then I said, take heed what you hear. Secondly, you need to take heed how you hear. You need to take heed how you hear. Why? Again, because seeds have the potential to produce what's spoken. Now, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, Luke 8:18, it says, take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and whosoever has not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seems to have. So he says, take heed, pay close attention to how you hear. Well, don't you hear the same way? I mean, aren't we just talking about sounds? No, we're not. We're talking about you listening and you giving heed to something. So how you hear is absolutely vital. What you hear is the substance. You need to be listening to the right source. How you hear, this is really important as well. And I'm going to talk about a few things here and then we'll move forward. But you need to hear like a child. What do I mean by that? I mean believingly. You need to believe what God says. You need to believe, and I'm talking about listening to God here. Listening to the right source. You need to be like a child. Your hearing needs to be like that of a child, believingly. You need to be willing to be challenged in your thinking. When you listen to the Word of God, He will challenge you because He's God. And there is so much more for you that He has for you. But if you will never go beyond where you're at, there's not much he can do, but if you will listen to his word and be willing to be challenged, he will take you to another level. You need to listen humbly and in an honoring manner. You need to listen humbly and in an honoring manner. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean you need to come before the Word of God as it is, the Word of God. And you need to humble yourself before it, and you need to honor it to the point where you're willing to obey it. And then you need to give yourself fully to it. How do we hear? We give ourselves fully to what He says so that we become obedient unto it. And He talked about, Jesus Himself talked about, the measure that you give, it will be given to you. You want more of Him? He'll give Himself to you more. You listen to His Word, you embrace His Word, you obey His Word. The problem is oftentimes we hear His Word, we do hear it, but then we declare it's really not Him so that we don't have to obey it. I'm not sure that that's really God. I'm not sure He really wants me to do this. I'm not sure He really wants me to do that when we know it's Him. And He says we deceive ourselves, and it brings then confusion in the future, because once we say, it's really not Him, the next time we hear, He's going to speak with the same voice. And when He speaks with the same voice, it will bring confusion to you because you said last time, because you didn't want to obey, that wasn't Him. But if we will listen to Him, and we will listen with humility, and we give ourselves fully to it, we obey it, it will bring you to a point of a changed way of thinking, and it will bring you to a point of carrying through to obedience when we give ourselves to His Word. I know I'm talking a lot about the Word, but you can't separate God from His Word. You can't separate Him from His Word. So I want to give you a couple of verses on this, and then I want to move into something and we'll close, because I want you to see the absolute vitality of what I'm talking about. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word is a lamp unto our feet, and His word is a light unto our path. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And you need to get to the point where it's that for you. How you hear. You hear like a child, believingly. You hear willing to be challenged in your thinking. You hear with humility and honor. You hear and give yourself fully to it. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then Psalm 119, verse 140. Psalm 119, verse 140. It says here, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. And I like to say it this way. Your word is very pure, therefore I, your servant, love it. You need to get to the point where you love God's word. It is life unto you. How, that is the manner in which we receive the word of God, can be a matter of life and death. It can be a matter of health and sickness. It can be a matter of heaven or hell. How you hear is so important. So I want to go over to the book of Matthew chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10. I'll make some statements and we'll close. Matthew 22 verse 1, Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. So, there is an invitation that went out from the king to a wedding. This invitation went out to all these people. They were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Verse 4, again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited the invitation. The invitation came once and again. The invitation came more than once. He said, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they all made light of it. And they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard it, He was furious, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers, burned up their city. Verse 8, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready. The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Now, that is a powerful statement, and I'll give some explanation to this. We'll finish out these next two verses. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you will find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now, this is actually a parable telling us about heaven. And the invitation has gone out from God into all the earth, and he has sent it once and again and again. He sent it with the prophets of old. He sent it with the apostles later on. He sent it through the great men and women of God throughout history. The invitation to heaven has gone out into the world. There is no question, God wants his wedding feast filled. It talks in the book of Revelation about the wedding feast with Jesus. It is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jesus is that one who we are betrothed to. We are going to heaven to be with forever. But the invitation has gone out to everybody. When the invitation is rejected, we've been talking about the Word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall bow their heart before Jesus, confess him as Lord, shall be saved. But when people despise that, they, as it mentioned in this, they make light of it. That's what despise can mean, to not give weight to it. When the invitation goes and they say, nah, what's the issue? The issue is how they hear. They're not listening. They're not listening like a child, believing it. They're not listening and being willing to be challenged in their thinking. Many have been told, you just be a good person and it's enough. No, it's not. They have not listened with humility and an honoring manner. They've not listened and given themselves fully to what God has said. They have not listened in the right way, how they hear. The invitation has gone forth, and he says they were not worthy. You mean we have to be worthy to enter into heaven? Yes, we do. But worthiness is not based on your works. Worthiness is based on your acceptance of the invitation. The invitation was given, and we simply say, I receive the invitation. That means we bow our hearts before Jesus, that we give ourselves fully to what he has said. And when we do that, it's not about my good works and my bad works, it's about what he did for me, and all of a sudden God says, you're worthy to enter in. And we're given a robe of righteousness. At the tail end of what we read, he said, you know, he goes out to both the bad and the good. Your works do not get you into heaven. It is your reception of the invitation that makes you worthy. That's it. I don't care if you've done good or bad. Now, when you get born again, you're saved to do good after that, but that doesn't get you into heaven. You get rewarded for that. God has a plan for you, and it is good. And there's nothing like it. But your entrance into heaven is based on your worthiness. Your worthiness is based upon your acceptance or rejection of the invitation. The invitation is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Your acceptance of the invitation makes you worthy to enter heaven. None of us will stand before God and say, look at how wonderful I am. Aren't you glad I'm here? We will stand before Him and say, you are worthy. And my worthiness is simply because I received what Jesus did for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's even a single person in this room today or those online that would say, I, at this point, cannot say I'm worthy to enter heaven because I have not asked Jesus to be my Lord. If that's you, and you admit that, you're willing to confess that, and you want to get born again, I'm going to say this. In a moment of time, you can receive Jesus as your Lord. Just raise your hand if that's you, and those of you online that are watching, if there's anybody online, just raise your hand, and we will pray. And in a moment of time, that can be taken care of. So I'm going to ask everybody in the room, if you would, just pray this prayer behind me. If you mean this from your heart, then you'll be born again. Father God, I ask you now to save me based upon what Jesus did. Jesus, you are Lord. I ask you now, be my Lord. And to save me, you died in my place. You rose from the dead that I might be made right. And so I thank you. I receive Jesus as Lord now. And I'm saved. I'm heaven bound. And I'm excited to be with you forever. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again.